Okay. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us on this Sabbath day. And thank you for the rain, too. Our gardens need it. And thank you for blessing everybody that's here in attendance, be it on the phone, the radio, or here in the room. And thank you for your presence being made known unto us, even during the day, and even when we're not gathering. Father, we need more courage, faith, discernment, love, understanding, everything, to be able to go forth and do this work for you. And so thank you for blessing us where we need to be blessed. And thank you for also revealing unto us through the Word that it is going to get intense out there, and it's going to get scary, but we aren't to be concerned with that, because like you've done in the past, even with the martyrs, at the moment they need the courage, that's when you give it. And so thank you. That really does calm our hearts, knowing that you're, well, we already knew you would do that, but it's nice to know you let us know in advance. Please bless everyone here. Give us a nice changing of the showbread today, and bless everyone on our prayer list and all the prayers that are being mentioned in the chat. And thank you for hearing our prayers in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. We got, just so everybody knows, we got communion next week, so please don't forget. And, we need unleavened bread and all that other good stuff. The grape juice, and which means I got to get some grape juice. I don't have any here. But I also want to suggest, and we could discuss this later too, like a little bit after church, in regards to what the Lord would have us do next. Some of us have already been getting some inkling as to what He needs us to do, and if you look in the prophecies, it kind of lines up. Actually, it does line up as what He would have us do next. Hold on, let me get this fan on. Okay. And so I think we need to fast, as a church family, we need to pick a day when we're going to do this, and wait on the Lord's hand to move. And we can fast 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever you all want to do. Some of us can't handle more than 1 day because of health reasons or whatever, so do as you can. And it's something to think about. We can discuss that after the sermon as well. But anyway, we will get into that a little bit later. So, getting back to the bells and the pomegranates. And that is the proper way to say it. I'm going to say it the way it's typed, the way it's spelled. So, but the bells and the pomegranates that we started, we were looking at them last Sabbath. They were not on the coat of fine, the white linen, fine twine linen, or even on the golden ephod for that matter, which we, okay, wait. All right, Lee, can you turn up the, because I can't tell if it's coming through. And please don't yell in the background, because it comes right through this mic. Can you hear me? Okay, there you go. All right, good. Now I can hear it. That's where I got to hear a little bit of the echo, as long as it doesn't come all the way through. It's low enough to where the frequency won't hit this mic to any great extent. But anyway, getting back, we're not going to. We will discuss the gold ephod later, of course. But these, the bells and the pomegranates, they're turn it down just a little bit, Lee. They were on the only on the blue robe, which symbolized absolute obedience to the law of the Lord. And we discussed that last week, I think, to some extent. But and this is why the obedient bride cannot contain the truth within them, kind of like what Jeremiah said. Even though Jeremiah wanted to quit and stop going forth, but he says it's a fire that burns within. He can't stay it. He can't stop it. And this is why we are a working church, and not one that just sits back waiting on a ladder rain before going forth. You know, like the two farmers that we discussed, I think I talked about it last week or the week before, where they both went to a man of God and asked for prayer to stop a drought, and they both went back home. But one of them went out there and tilled his field, expecting the rain. Well, that's what we got to do. And but remember this parable of the Lord? It's in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9. Get some of these PMs out of the way here. Thank you, Brother Warren, for posting that in the room there. And Brother Sean, thank you for posting the verses. But this is what it says in verses 13, or chapter 13, verses 3 to 9 in the book of Matthew. And it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up." Now, if you do a little bit of research, I never knew this until I happened to see a video many years ago of a young girl being possessed by a demon. She was playing a Ouija board, and she spoke about a little bird. It's coming at her like a little bird. And if you look in the scripture, you'll find, I don't remember exactly where it's at. I think it's in either Psalms or Proverbs, where it depicts Satan as a little bird, or his demons like little birds that go around and carry gossip and all, you know, what's from one mind to the next. And this is why you see the fowls came and devoured him up, because that's what Satan does. The minute somebody comes into the truth, he does everything he can to prevent it in the heart, you know, from finding good soil. And then going on, it says, "Some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth." And we see that all with the, like, if any of you, like, I'm constantly have to deal with this here. We have old concrete. I mean, this house is really, really old. And so there's dirt in between the cracks and stuff, but the cracks aren't all the way through, you know, although some of them are, because it is old concrete. But, you know, they put those seams in there for expansion. And you get the weeds that pop up in there, and the roots don't go very far. And they pop up fast. I mean, you're constantly out there attacking, you know, trying to get rid of them. And then going on, it says, "And when the sun was up, they were scorched." In other words, you know, because they had no root and they withered away. And, you know, when the light of day or the light of truth comes on them, they can't handle it, and it scorches them. They prefer, because they don't have any real, you know, depth in their Christianity. It's just like an Isaiah 4:1 thing. You know, "I'll claim Jesus as Lord, just let me drink, smoke, and do all this other stuff." And then some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And that's, of course, all the trials and the persecution and the ridicule and people mocking you and calling you Jesus freak and all that other stuff. That gets, you know, to some people. And then, of course, it says, "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let them hear." In other words, those who understand the the symbols here, you're going to understand this, you know. You could say this to a crowd of people that have never understood. It's kind of like with the secret rapture thing. I don't know how many people have come to me with that one passage where it says two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Or no, two men are in the bed. Oh, yeah, either way, you know, two men are in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women are grinding, one will be taken, one will be left. And two men are in bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Because they don't understand Bible prophecy, they don't realize that the bed means a grave. The field means they're doing the work. They think they're Christians. Well, one of them is, one of them's not, because the other one went. You know, doing the field missionary work, and then, of course, you know, working in the world. In the grinding thing, it's, you know, the women, you're doing the work in the church. You know, women are churches. And so, but a lot of people take that out of context and say, "Oh, this proves secret rapture is true. All of a sudden, a bunch of people are going to be missing, and the other people are going to be left behind." You know, that's how easily a Jesuit can work on something. You know, work with something like that and twist the daylights out of it. But if you know that's why I think it's so important to find out what every symbol in prophecy means. It'll avoid all this falderal that they're putting out there. Especially with, you know, they came up with another date, I think it's in August now, where the world's coming to an end. I mean, every time you turn around, and they use the astrology, like that one Catholic, so-called Catholic prophet. He's been wrong 4 times or 5 times in a row. So, yeah, he's a Catholic prophet, because that's their fruit, false prophecy. I mean, you do it enough. I mean, you could sit there and say, "The Lord's coming today, the Lord's coming today, the Lord's coming today." Eventually, you're going to be right. I mean, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? And so eventually they're going to be right, and they think, "Oh, I'm a prophet," but then it's too late. These guys cracked, and you died in your sin. And so, but yeah, If you study, and that's why I did that study many years ago, and I offer to everybody that wants it for free, 100%. You just download it and do what you got to do with it. Because I remember years ago when I started getting into the Sabbath and stuff like that, and I wanted to go a little deeper in prophecy than I've ever done before as a Sunday keeper. And I came across this one book by Ted, wait, let me think what his name is here. I still got this book. No, this ain't it. Oh, there it is. Okay, I still have it. It's Bible Symbols and Their Definitions by Ted Tesner. Okay, and I've had this. It was from Loma Linda. I guess it's an SDA thing. Because there was a lot of stuff in here I couldn't understand. What is... Because he come up with these... he has these definitions instead of like John chapter 5, 15 verses 2 to 4 to speak of the root, being Jesus and all that. Another one talks about Satan being the root, and then he has an SR, 425, and I could not figure out what that was, or a DA, Desire of Ages, or 5T, or Testimonies, Volume 5. Couldn't figure that stuff out. But my biggest problem with this is it's only, I think it's like a, it's a pretty good size. I mean, it's 199 pages. Well, 198. Well, no, he has the abbreviations on the back. So 195. Because it ends with Zion, of course. And no scripture is given to back Zion. It's just Great Controversy 17, right? And so the thing that got me, there are so many typos in this thing. I mean, I went through this with a fine-tooth comb because I was looking for this, looking for that, and I found a lot of typos with the wrong Bible verse. Kind of like with Path to the Throne of God. There's a ton of Bible, they put the wrong book for the verse in there. So you got to be careful with that stuff. And so... But it is good. I mean, it'll get you where you got to be, but it's just scratching the surface. And so I wanted to go all the way in. And so praise the Lord, we now have it in print to where every single solitary scripture or symbol in scripture has been defined now using only scripture. Because when you're on the street, not a lot of people are going to know. Because when I first opened this, I had no clue what DA meant and GC meant and all that stuff. And now I do, but, It's still sitting there, but I never use it anymore because it's a lot easier to use the one I've already made. So, but anyway, now that you know what the pomegranate seed baskets on the blue robe of obedience means, this parable makes it easier to understand why Jesus uses seeds here in his illustration. Because last week we went into a little bit of discussion in regards to the pomegranate, because you crack it open, it's like a little basket of seeds. And that's why it's used on the along with the golden bells on the blue robe. And we need to keep in mind though that the Jews that he in this parable here that we got in the room right now, I think it's Matthew 13 there. We got to keep in mind that the Jews that he was preaching to back then knew all about the sanctuary services. Now, here's what this is really, and this is why we're studying the sanctuary now as a Christian family. I don't know of any other churches that do this except the SDA church, and I don't know if they've done it in recent days or not. But the not a Sunday. I know some Sunday teachers, like the Baptists or Anabaptists especially, and the Sabbatarian Baptists, I know they do studies in the sanctuary as well, but I don't know if they're going to catch it if they don't understand the prophetic symbols behind it. Like with a Sunday-keeping church, you do a sanctuary study. If the pastor goes into that, if he's an honest man, and if I was a betting man, I would think that he'd leave the church about halfway through that study because they'll start to realize, oh, man, we are messing things up here with this Sunday Sabbath and this Christmas stuff and Easter. I mean, he'd leave. And so that's another reason why you don't see this going on in a lot of the Sunday-keeping churches with the sanctuary stuff. But again, we need to keep in mind that the Jews, he was preaching to Jews, and they knew all about the sanctuary services because they partook daily, and especially on the Day of Atonement, each and every year. And so it was easy for him to bring this to them, and it's easy to keep it away from the majority of the Christians in today's world, which is... by definition, Isaiah 4:1 types, where the ear ticklers, they're or preach on with smooth things. I mean, it's just the enemy of souls has been very busy. And what's really sad about this whole thing is how they settle for so little. And this is why their prayers never get answered. You don't hear of any miracle. But that's definitely going to be changing in the days ahead. The Lord's been revealing so many things to us. And thank you, Brother Sean. The Isaiah 30, verse 10, for those listening on the radio, everybody already here knows about, wow, 15th. Welcome, everybody on the in WTPR. Welcome. Isaiah 30, verse 10 says, which say to the seer, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not, unto his right things, speak unto his smooth things, prophesy deceit. I think I used it in my last two videos, or the previous two videos of this one here, because they don't want to hear it. It's too scary, you know, and that's kind of like today's sermon is about be not afraid, it is I. You find Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, like I was saying earlier about the martyrdom thing. If you find Christ Jesus as truly as your Savior, they can put a torch in front of you and say they're going to cook you, and it won't bother you one bit. Like Huss, you'll be singing when you're on fire, because it's clear in the Scripture that He will give you the power to handle that at the moment you need it. And that gives you a calming in your heart, because you think now, oh, that's scary. I don't want to have to burn, because that's just common nature, human nature, right? But think about this. He is a God of promises, and He's a God of truth. He can't lie. He's not going to. He's not going to step into the realm of Satan. And so you know you're going to get that peace. You know you're going to get that courage, that strength, and that power to stand there, even if you are on fire. But if you say, preach onto his smooth things, well, then you're going to die a really, really difficult. And then the fire will really destroy you and turn you into ashes at the end of 1,000 years. But that's the way it is, and that's why you got a 7-year trib, a secret rapture, because the real prophecies about what's coming scares these people so much that they want something different. We want to be off this planet, and so preach that. Invent something. And that's what that prophecy is about in Isaiah 30. And so, again, so these Jews knew, and but most Christians today don't know in regards to what that pomegranate stands for. Or the golden bells, you know, that beautiful sound of truth that goes forth. It's not a clanging cymbal. You know, like when you share hatred or anger with somebody, that's a clanging gong or something. These are perfect little golden, pure golden bells. And then you got a pomegranate, then a bell, then a pomegranate, you know, all around the base of that rope. And so, yeah, thank you again, brothers. I was just thinking, this 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, says, and if you have a problem with anger or dealing with or love, you're not giving enough love, read the entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, every day. I did that for a couple, 3 years, about a couple of years. It really will change your life, because starting off, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, you know, love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, nothing like that golden bell. Which means you're not going home. You're one of those fake Christians, Isaiah 4:1 types. So, again, the Jews knew all about these seed baskets that we call in reality, but in symbology, it's in the seed basket, but in reality, it's a pomegranate or a Bible, if you really want to say it. But they knew what the pomegranate seed basket meant. But many today that don't study the sanctuary only see the seeds in the parable as little bits of truth, which in fact they are, but unless they see the whole picture of truth, I mean literally, they're only going to see the pomegranate seed baskets on their blue robe of obedience, and they may never come to understand the duty they have regarding you know, going forth with those little seed baskets. I mean, this is our ordained task at hand, brothers and sisters, and as Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15, Romans 10, verses 13 to 15, this clearly instructs that we too must go forth in obedience to do the duty we have been called to do. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's where you get the perfect peace and even the strength and the courage to stand firm, even though they have the torch in front of you, right? Or a guillotine, because the odds are that's all they're going to hear is the guillotines. You know, but it goes on. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, absolutely every one of us praises our Lord in unison daily because we have found that pearl of great price. I mean, wouldn't you want to share the joy, the peace, the comfort, and the love of the Lord with as many as he sends your way? Yeah, we do. And this is what I love about this church family. Even though we have no brick-and-mortar church in the USA, we have buildings elsewhere, other countries, but we are, for the most part, a working church that is not afraid to stand on the front lines to proclaim the present truth to the many souls out there searching for it. And because we know the mark's going to be enforced here first, kind of makes sense as to why we don't have a brick-and-mortar church. A lot more difficult for a Jesuit to infiltrate or even control us when we go forth. And that loud cry is going to upset them in a big way. And yes, they are looking for peace that we have in Jesus in the exact same way we were looking back when we found him. You know, the people out there that we're approaching. And yes, it's a very sinful world out there now. Most aren't going to want to hear it. Okay, it's obvious, you know, because that's the overwhelming majority. It's just like with like those of you that do the tracks on and offline, you know. Sean or one of the other guys sent me a response to something that I guess you did online, and they came back with some of the most crazy theology. It's so sad. It just kind of brings a spiritual tear to your eyes. It's, how can they believe? And that's another thing, Brother Warren. You know, they say we preach hate. I was dealing with a homosexual the other day online, and how he's saying we preach hate. I says, well, could you please reread everything I just said here and then reread everything you just said, but do it with an unbiased opinion. I didn't call you any names. I didn't threaten you. I didn't laugh out loud and insult you at all. I shared love because he started the second time. He says, you know, don't give me your high and mighty, you know, your humble attitude and all this other stuff. I said, look at what you're saying. And you say, I'm preaching hate. But see, most people are going to have a brick wall up and they're not going to want to hear it because the grand delusion's upon them. It's because they want it there. They love the flesh that much. And so you're going to be dealing with the overwhelming majority of people out there ain't going to want to hear it. I mean, look at Noah and all these movies. And so there's actually one on YouTube where they show Noah and his family and all the animals. And it looks like about 40 or 50 people from town that were in the boat with him. You're going to have a real hard time finding a Bible verse to back that one up. But see, that's how they want to be. They want to twist the Bible and change it. And like the prophecy also stated, they are right now denying the flood. It was stated that right before Jesus gets here, people are actually going to deny there was a global flood. Even though you can find, besides the fact that we actually have photographs and a video of the inside of the ark sitting on Mount Ararat right now, you can go to any mountain on the planet. Any mountain on the planet, you're going to find seashells. So, but that kind of stuff, they don't want to hear about it. You say anything like that, their comeback will be crickets. You're not going to get anything. And rightly so. And that's why they hate what we share, because it's true. The main reason they hate, now think about this, and you got to think about this with love, because that's what moved Jesus to say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Oh, Joe, it was Joe that sent the one with that was the YouTube comments with their crazy theology. Okay, I thought it was either, because you are the two guys that are always sending me something, so I get you guys mixed up, I guess. But anyway, when Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do, when these people come up and say that we preach hate, they really don't know what they're doing. It's the demon in them prodding them to say that, because Satan truly hates our guts. I mean, in a big way, he hates Jesus Christ in a big way. So his people, the ones that follow him, are definitely going to hate us. And until they find Christ and walk away from all that, because they're miserable. You know, they say they're happy, but they even lie to them, to themselves all the time. And they admit it a lot of times, too. I remember watching a documentary on this some time ago where every homosexual that was interviewed without, and half of them didn't even know they were being interviewed, because this one guy did this thing where he walked into one of those bars that was all about that kind of lifestyle. And he had a hidden camera, and he asked every one of them, he got close to every one of them, and asked them, how did it start out? And every single solitary one of them said they had been either molested or they had a homosexual parent. Every one of them were taught that lifestyle. But when you bring it out into the light of day, they'll say, oh, no, I was born this way. They live a lie. And that's the way Satan is. He lives his lie. That's why he is past tense. If you look at the word devil, spell it backwards, it's lived. So, but even if only a few come to the truth, that you present. The celebration in heaven is no less amazing regarding a new soul saved. And so do what you can as often as you can with those little pomegranate seed baskets and those little bells. And so when that eastern sky splits, you will see just how many souls were blessed by the seeds you planted. And some of them are going to come up to you and you never even knew. You know, because there's a lot of things that we do. And like, I'm sure you've heard the saying, and I like to present this saying to people that are suicidal. This is, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Well, first of all, that's extremely selfish, but you got to understand that no man's an island. You may think it's only hurting yourself, but what about your mom? What about your dad? What about your brothers? What about your sister? What about your friends? What about those people that loved you and you committed suicide? But in today's world, even there, it's difficult to talk to them about that because of the psychotropic drugs. Most of these people out there to commit suicide are because the AMA gave them the pills that will help them commit suicide. It's just all part of that, lower the population thing. That and the vaccines and all this other stuff, but I don't want to get into that. That's a whole other sermon. So remember, as a sinner that was sent to you from the Lord receives the word into their heart, and the joyful and pure sound of the golden bells can be heard deep within them, when they embrace the seeds of that little basket, all that truth, you will see that which was penned in Luke 15:7 literally come to fulfillment, wherein it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So share his truth, so that the golden bells on the hem of the high priest's blue robe of obedience sound out their joy before all in heaven. And that joy is quickly taken up by the angels in heaven who join in that wonderful pure sound with the strings of their golden harps. We have a work to do, and we will do it. And praise his mighty name for that. So I pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.